We're on with Dan Barron, Senior Vice President in the Commercial Real Estate Group at Associated Bank. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Steve.
I want to focus our conversation first on something I saw. Fritz Kagi, who's the Cook County Assessor, says that the total value of properties in Chicago topped $50 billion, almost $51 billion, and said homeowners might bear a slightly smaller share of the tax burden, which means commercial properties are probably getting doing more of the heavy lifting here. Talk to us a little bit about what Kagi has said here, and what are you hearing from your commercial markets?
So I don't envy Fritz Kagi, right? His job is very, very difficult, and I don't want to be the person to criticize someone else's work. But in this market, in this environment, I don't see how he can really justify by saying the commercial portion of Cook County and Chicago particularly is more valuable than the residential. I think it's a fairly close split, 25 billion and 25.8 billion for commercial. It's just not the reality right now. I think home values have been increasing because there's a smaller supply of homes available, so values are going up there. But it's the complete opposite when we're looking at commercial properties. I mean, I brought a list that I've been compiling myself while reading in publications, and you know, I have a list of 7 office buildings that have sold or are under contract in the called second half of 24 and into 25 now. And I mean, it's blood on the streets for office. I'm office particular, all right? That's a huge generator of tax income. I mean, Sterling Bay just sold 600 West Chicago Avenue for $89 million. Sounds great, but in 2018 they paid $421 million more.
Wow.
Than that. So they've lost $421 million on that sale alone. 70 West Madison Street lost $290 million from a sale from their last purchase in 2014. 311 South Wacker sold for $70 million recently, but that's $230 million below the last sale price in 2014. So of my 7, my list here, all downtown Loop office buildings, the sale price all since the last sales since 2013 in the last 12 years, these 7 properties have lost a combined $1.3 billion mm-hmm. of value.
Yeah, so you really do have to scratch your head and wonder what's going on here with some of these numbers. And also the undercurrent that you've suggested is happening here with distressed property sales, with distressed properties. And again, people not back in the office fully in Chicago and all these empty office buildings. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So we've talked about this in the past, right? Like employers and companies, they need to figure out how best to accommodate their workforce with their space needs. If you have a hybrid work, you're still going to need an office presence, but you're going to need possibly a smaller presence. Maybe you can have certain support staff work remote, or you could have certain people that need to be in the office a couple days a week. Maybe you stagger the days they're in the office, so you don't need as much office space. So a lot of that has happened. There's a lot of office space that's been contracted, a lot of people that don't need as much office space as they did a couple of years ago. Essentially, there's just too much office in and around Chicago and really probably across the country. But, that hybrid work, I think, it's been now 5 years since the pandemic, right? We figured out, I think, what best works and, you know, for these companies. And if they haven't had a lease rollover with their landlord, they've certainly put some office space on the sublease market. So I think we're kind of at that point where, or I'm hoping we're at that point where all the blood that I just mentioned that's in the streets, hopefully that's the worst we're going to see. I mean, there'll still be some more distressed sales. There'll still be some more problems as landlords flush out and, you know, figure out if new tenants want to come in, where the money comes from for those tenant improvement dollars and leasing commissions. But I think it's going to be hopefully a better scenario going forward. Maybe some of all the issues have been flushed out and all the people now realized, hey, this is our remote work, or this is our hybrid work, or this is our all in office. And they figured out what works best for their company. And, you know, hopefully we can carry on to a, you know, better future.
Is there blood in the streets too in the suburbs? Is this a suburban problem as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, suburban, I would just pick the downtown ones because these are the most recognizable addresses. But suburban offices, you know, seen their own fair share of problems, right? Allstate left their corporate campus in Northbrook that was sold to an industrial developer. They completely knocked down all of Allstate's former headquarters along 294 and rebuilt industrial. I think there's been other problems with other issues with municipalities kind of really understanding that these old office corporate campuses are dinosaurs, right? I mean, they should be torn down, they should be repurposed, but I think the municipalities have to figure out what it is they're going to repurpose them as. But I mean, certainly suburban office is still in the same boat as downtown, and maybe not, if not worse.
What's the breaking point?
Oh, that's a good question. Like I said, hopefully we're past the breaking point, okay. Right? I hope that everyone's come to understand their space needs, their issues. Landlords have figured out, look, either I'm handing back the keys to the lender in a deed in lieu. Hopefully some of them, you know, refinance cash out in prior years, so they're not going to all take a complete bath. But there's certainly going to be a lot of lost equity, like I just mentioned. And hopefully we're past that breaking point.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the commercial real estate market. I mean, we talked a little bit about it there, but I guess there was a real estate forecast conference, and lots of folks were there, and everyone seemed really optimistic for 2025. So, I mean, the news is not all that bad.
No, it's not all that bad, right? There's always optimism at the start of a new year, right? Everyone has their New Year's resolutions, but that usually fades by mid-January. But in business world, everyone wants to look forward to a progress for the upcoming year. You know, I'm also hopeful. You know, we've had some good activity start just in January so far and in early February. But, you know, I think there's also a little bit of extra optimism, a little more pep in everybody's step with a new administration, right? Now people understand that, you know, hopefully the Trump administration is a little more pro-business and maybe a little less regulatory, which is always good on our end, being in the banking industry. But I think there's reason for optimism. You know, hopefully, you know, we had the 100 basis points in interest rate cuts over the last couple of quarters, and I know that the Fed's signaling that they're going to stay steady, they're going to keep them somewhat elevated for longer. People are hoping for 100 basis points again this year. I don't think that's going to happen. Probably closer to 25 to 50 would be the maximum. But hopefully inflation starts to come down a little bit. We see some more interest rate cuts. People are happier. People want to do more business.
One of the attendees at this conference, one of the real estate folks said that we're now in a recovery mode, echoing sort of what you said a little bit, but also said that Chicago remains a great place to do business. So that's good to hear.
That is good to hear. I think it's a good place to do business for local Chicago Midwest people, right? Investors may be a different story. You know, you and I talked about this. People have essentially redlined big, large investment companies have essentially redlined Cook County. They don't want to invest big money into Cook County with such uncertainty in taxes. But with that said, Chicago is still a big draw for, you know, young kids coming out of college who are hungry, who are willing to work, eager to work. And, you know, there's always going to be a thriving economy in Chicago. There's always going to be a thriving business community. And I think that's also a positive, and that's always going to be the case. We're the, you know, the third largest city in this country. We're a very big, largest economy in the Midwest. That's always going to be a driver. That's always going to be bring business to Chicago. It's just we have to make this a little bit better of an environment for large institutional investors to move.
And let's talk a little bit more about that. What would it take? What would need to happen for that red line to be erased?
Everything we always talk about is about certainty, right? There's such an uncertainty there's such a disconnect between Fritz Kagi and the Cook County Board of Review. The Board of Review reviews all of the real estate tax appeals that come from Cook County. And there's such a different methodology between how the assessor sees it and how the Board of Review sees it. I think if they can somehow get a little closer, I don't think there's ever going to be, they're never going to walk down the street holding hands, but if they can stay on the same side of the street, I think that's a positive. And I think that's something that would help draw investment money back into Cook County, like I said, from the large institutional investors. I think there's plenty of local large institutions that are still interested in Chicago and are willing to do business in Chicago. There's some international and, you know, more national footprint people that, like I said, you know, won't invest in Cook County.
Would it help to have more interest rate cuts this year? I think two are on the calendar.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, anytime you get you have an issue with let's call it two problems, right? You have real estate taxes and interest rates. I think people can absorb one. Two makes it a little more difficult, right? If we have a better interest rate environment, people are still willing to maybe roll the dice and work with a favorable board of review for a tax reduction. But I think those two factors really make it difficult to invest, especially with the large dollars that these institutions throw around.
With the new administration in office now, how do you think that's going to help or hurt commercial real estate? I know that you talked a little bit about the regulation part of this, but are there other things too? Are there taxes? Are there other maybe infrastructure items that might help push the industry forward?
I think the it more comes down to government spending, I suppose. Infrastructure is one thing. You know, it depends on how Trump is going to address the infrastructure bill from last year from Biden. But, you know, there's not going to be a huge, you know, one-to-one, Trump's in office, CRE is going to be great. It's not really that simple. I think it's more related or directed towards interest rates are going to be, I think, the main driver that's going to push business activity back into commercial real estate. But like I said, from a regular standpoint, it's better for lenders, banks. A lower regulatory environment just increases you know, what banks are willing to do and capable of doing. That's going to help CRE.
Is there any advice that you might have for investors who are in the CRE area? Is it short-term projects, long-term projects? What would you point them to?
What I like is some of my clients are merchant builders, right? They're going to build it. They're going to sell it once it stabilizes. I think that's a smart way to deploy capital, do your developments, you know, earn your fees, earn your income, and sell. If you're building, stabilizing, selling, it means you're in a good spot. You're in a good location. You have tenants that are willing and able to come in. As long as you can secure that up front, there's a lot of build-to-suits and industrial, retail. We're doing quite a bit of retail. There's a lot of pre-leasing and retail. So as long as you're in the right location, right centers, right area, you can generate tenant demand. Then, you know, if you can do those things, I think there's enough money to generate interest from outside investors, be able to, you know, sell your completed project, earn some money, and kind of hold off until you're really able to get back into a full swing of a full pipeline of deals.
Dan, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they
want? Sure. Thanks, Steve. They can call me 312-544-4657 or email me daniel.behrens@associatedbank.com.
All right, Dan. We'll talk to you next time.
Appreciate it, Steve.